What's going on, Kicking Out Podcast Nation? It's Sunday night. It's July 14th, 2024. So you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Kicking Out Podcast streaming live on the Kicking Out Podcast Facebook page and YouTube channel. And I guess X must have changed their rules because now you have to have a premium account to stream live to X. I just found that out right now. I guess we're not live on our X account. But anyways, give us a follow on all social media platforms at Kicking Out Pod. Three-man band in the house tonight. I am Tanner Lee.
Whoa.
Hey, go ahead and put it up there, Tanner. Go ahead. Fuck Elon Musk.
Yeah, I like that. There we go.
I got it out of there early.
Minute and a half in.
Man.
And how long's the intro? A minute?
47 seconds, I think.
That's so stupid.
But don't worry, Shep, because the people's champ is here.
The people's champ?
Well, the people's champion. I won't shorten it to champ because that's somebody else's gimmick. I don't want to get, a cease and desist on KOP.
Go, indulge me, Paul. Go ahead. Let me hear it.
What?
How are you the people's champ? I want to hear it.
Because Pluggo says that I'm the people's champion, so I'm the people's champion. Once the people declare you as the people's champion, you are the people's champion.
So just because...
Just like Rock did.
The two guys that couldn't predict a full card, they decided to give themselves their own championship? You marks.
People's champion.
You know, it's similar to when last year the WWE... presented the new World Heavyweight Championship to Rollins because nobody could beat Roman.
Yeah.
What's going on here? It's kind of what's
right. going on here. All right. Mm-hmm. But no, we are not the three-man band because only way that's going to work is if I'm Drew McIntyre because I refuse. Well, I guess I could be Heath Slater. I do got kids.
You have the most kids. You have the most kids on the podcast.
Yeah, and you got redder hair than I do, Paul.
Yeah. A little bit, I guess.
Yeah. You're Heath Slater. It's okay.
Yeah, Majin right. said you're the people's chump.
Yeah, Majin can never mind.
Hey, Majin, you're gonna love this. I haven't figured this out yet, okay? I don't understand it, but I just got the entry form. I am playing in the Coyotes fundraiser in November again. I thought they were moving to freaking Utah.
They did. They're not a team anymore.
They're having their fundraiser in November, and I just got signed up for it. So I'm going back out to Scottsdale in November to play in the NHL Coyotes NHL fundraiser. So I thought we were going to go out to Mormon land, but I guess we're still going out to Scottsdale. So
I think you'll have a better time in Scottsdale.
What smoke?
That's true. Yeah. I don't think I'd fit in out there.
Probably not.
Hopefully, hey. I'll get a picture with old Marty McSwirley and send it to Majin.
Yes, there we go. We need it.
There we go. Well,
Steven Chambers asked, what's the name of the Utah NHL team? I could be mistaken. I think it's just like Utah Hockey Club for the first year or something like that. Kind of like
they didn't keep the Coyotes name?
I don't think so. I'm going to look it up.
They were that bad they got rid of the Coyotes name.
Well, I don't know if Utah's known for
Utah Hockey Club.
Utah Hockey Club. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You were so bad in Arizona, they got rid of the Coyotes name.
Well, is Utah known for Coyotes? I mean, I really don't know. Whereas Arizona is known for Coyotes.
The only thing I saw in Arizona was rattlesnakes and rats, so.
They're holding a contest, according to Majin, to name it, and that makes sense. Stephen Chambers says there's no Coyotes in Utah, so there we go.
Okay.
You raw.
And
he corrected it.
Utah. Hey,
we're not the grammar police.
Hey, Steven, if you've ever seen my text messages, which these guys have, I am the worst. So
there are times we've got to sit there before we can even respond and decipher the code.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's true.
It's almost like a Wyatt family, Wyatt Six style code when it comes to Shep's texting.
I got fat thumbs, man. That's all I can say.
Oh, Use your finger then.
You know, we're an AEW podcast. We got a bunch of AEW to talk about, but you brought up the Wyatt Six. I want to see something else besides these VHS tapes. They got to get moving on this. They got to get moving on this.
Well, Bo was in Adam Pierce's office on Monday, so
I know he was, but and he's doing a phenomenal job. But the rest, they got to get moving with the rest, or it's gonna lose
yeah,
me.
Yeah. I was on board with Bo as Uncle Howdy when they announced it at the end of the Bray Wyatt documentary. So keep me on board with the other members.
It's like fine wine, boys. It's like fine wine.
Yeah, but you know, us wrestling fans, we're impatient at times.
The IWC's probably already lost interest in it.
Oh, I don't know. A lot of them I don't think will lose interest in anything that WWE's doing right now.
Marks.
See, Steven agrees. Getting old with the VHS tapes 3 weeks in a row.
So. I don't think you see it next week. I don't think you see one.
Yeah, yeah. Tomorrow night.
It kind of fizzled out a little bit because originally these tapes, I think, were meant for McAfee. McAfee had a family emergency, had to miss the Raw in Indianapolis, was gone the following Raw, and this all started the day of the Indianapolis Raw on his show. They kind of hinted, and then he had a family emergency, and I think they had to backpedal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not involve Pat as much. So maybe that's why you got an extra week.
Yeah, probably right. But we could talk more about that later, but let's talk some AEW. But first, I'm sure Paul's got a question he wants to fire off to you, Shep.
Yeah. I actually have two questions. One's for Shep, and then we'll get to yours, Tanner, since I still don't have a graphic for it yet. Hey, Shep, what are we drinking tonight?
We are drinking the one and only H2O.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
With what? With what?
Wait, what?
I can't.
The ice has got H2O in it, but what else is in that cup?
No, I thought we were going like some vodka water or something, or whiskey water.
Oh, man, we used to do some vodka water back in the day, but no, it was a long weekend, boys. I'm not going to lie. It was a long weekend, so this is the first adult beverage on a Sunday, which doesn't happen a lot, and we're just going just the great flavored club soda with a little vodka in it tonight. Taking it easy. Saturday was a rough one on your boy. Friday was a rough one on your boy too. So last thing I remember on Saturday was sinking an eagle putt and Euro stepping like Fat Perez on the green at Mill Creek. And then the rest was a blur. So that's all I can tell you.
All righty.
And yes, your boy here can Euro step.
We need some video evidence. You know, the whole world now is being Shep hyping out Creed. Now we need the video of the Euro step.
Yes. We had the 69th charity outing that I played in yesterday. Felt like the 69th.
I'm a child.
Any excuse to say 69.
You guys laughed, didn't you?
I did.
Shep started 7:05 yesterday morning, and by 9:15, Shep was in the slot. You wouldn't want to bet me yesterday. Let's just put it that way. I got the slot the way I went. So,
Hey, Stephen Chambers, wondering, Shep, did you get Nick Wayne's mom's shirt on AEW Shop?
She's got her own shirt. I have to get me one of those.
Now I got
to
go look it up now.
Yeah, put that on there. What does it look like?
Well, let's see here.
Hopefully she's not in what she normally wears to Shep's bed, because I don't want to spoil the goods, boys.
I think that's a little explicit for AEW to sell.
I mean,
let's see here. She's got two of them. We got
holy shnikes.
Okay, I gotta share my screen here.
These are cool. Yeah, we're waiting.
Okay, we got this one.
Ooh! Oh yeah!
Oh,
leather pants. You gotta be. I mean, who doesn't love the leather pants?
This one, yeah. Nick Wayne's mom with a car and a leather pants.
I think she has a little BBL going on right there.
And then we got just this one that says Mother Wayne.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's even got her name up there in case anybody was wondering what her name was.
So does she have more shirts than Nick does? I think she does. I think that's his only one.
That's his only shirt?
I believe
so. Wow.
Yep.
He's got posters.
Wow.
He's got posters.
Artwork. Mm-hmm. But Mama Wayne's in one of those, so does it count?
Wow, she's got more merch than Nick Wayne.
Hey, when you're
top sellers are this week.
When you're a star and gotta
bruv.
You gotta provide for Shep, you know what I mean?
Old school AW shirt, bruv shirt.
Chin up, tits out's probably still selling good.
Yeah, and that's a new one too. This is a new design.
Oh,
there's the one that you guys need right there. The learning tree.
Jesus.
Hi, guys.
When it shows up to my house, I'll wear it. I'm not buying it, though.
Actually, this one's really cool. I didn't know this is a new one. Owen Hart, Calgary's finest. Yeah. That's cool.
Wow. That's cool. That's cool. I figured that would be like an exclusive event shirt.
They did an exclusive MJF, this one, on Friday. It was a one-hour promotion. It was on sale for an hour. Printed in an hour and shipped within the hour. It was special and it's out of stock.
So, wow.
Yep. It was a 1 hour tease, like exclusive 1 day thing. So, yep. Yep. So, Paul, what are you going to ask me?
Hey, Tanner, what are we watching?
Oh, yes. Good question. We are watching a Monday Night Raw from July 14th. This is July 14th, but back in 1997. So, you might have seen Brian Pillman behind me. Bret Hart behind me. Well, later on, you're going to see the debut of Dude Love behind me.
Ah. Do you think Owen Hart was up there?
Yep, Owen. Yep. Yep. I don't know where this episode takes place from, but it is. Oh, San Antonio, Texas. There we go. And it
looks like a
lot of crowd. So, yep.
They were listening to you. They said, Tanner doesn't know where this is at. We better tell him. There's the king.
The king. What a legend.
Right? Yeah. Who is with him?
And I miss that old Titantron with the single.
Oh, yeah.
That was just that's his son, right?
Oh, it's his son. Yeah. Brian Christopher, yeah. Ace, Grandmaster Sexay, rest in peace.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
McMahon's on commentary.
Yep.
Yeah. This was before puppies became a thing.
So that was before. Yeah. When did Lawler go over there? In commentary, it had to be close to that time.
And McMahon, you know, eventually showed the world that he wasn't just a commentator; he was the owner of the company. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people didn't know.
Surprisingly. Yeah, they thought his dad still owned it.
Yes, Majin. AEW just released an Owen Hart shirt. It says Owen Hart, Calgary's finest, with a purple maple leaf. So there you go.
That's probably the first Owen Hart merch in 25 years.
Yeah,
I think they released some maybe 2 years ago when the cup started, but yeah, and I know they released a couple of figures of his, but that I think that design they released is the coolest one they've done so far, and I'm sure Majin's going to get it. So I know Owen was his boy. So.
Mm-hmm.
What a week in AEW, especially Wednesday night. I thought Dynamite for the second week in a row was just a banger.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
I mean, a lot.
Sorry, I was looking to see. Yeah, they've got three Owen Hart shirts on AEW.
Yeah, and Jarrett's new shirt, The Last Outlaw, that's a good one too.
So, yep. And you can get even a poster, print, whatever you want to call it, of Danielson holding up the cup from this year with Jeff Jarrett.
Yes, let's get right into that. The Owen Hart Cup Finals.
Hey, who's the old guy behind you? Who is that guy?
That's a great question. He looks very familiar.
Huh.
He does, but I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Obviously, it's somebody from Lawler's past.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had Danielson versus Hangman third time. We knew these guys were going to put on a classic, but like I told Majin on Twitter, and Majin asked me, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, this evening exceeded my expectations. Quitter. These guys killed it.
Mm-hmm.
This was not supposed to be a free match. When I say free match, we should not have got this match for free.
No, not at all.
We did, and it was 30 minutes of awesomeness.
Awesomeness.
And what I loved, this was truly one of those matches going in, I had no idea who was going to win. I couldn't lean one way or the other because I'm like, it makes sense story-wise either way they go for All In.
Yeah.
To me, it made more sense for Hangman to win than Brian. I don't disagree with the call. I love the match, and I'm sure we'll have a great, great main event with Swerve. But there's more options for Daniel than there was for Hangman. Meaning there's more options for him to be in Wembley than there is for Hangman.
Right. So, obviously, Danielson won. He won the Owen Hart Cup, so he's going on to Wembley at All In to main event against Swerve for the AEW World title. And we saw Swerve come out and address that afterwards. Some good little play on words there with it will be your final countdown, which already gives me goosebumps thinking the final countdown is going to play in Wembley. That's going to be
That's going to be blaring.
But as far as Hangman goes, later in the night, we would see him go to the Elite dressing room and say, I'll do it. So he's the fifth man in the Blood and Guts. Makes total sense after Swerve became the second member of Team AEW. Where do you think we go with Swerve, boys, to All In? I mean, do you think he somehow gets into this main event match as a triple threat? Or if not, who the heck? Well, actually, I know one other way they could go after I said that. But what do you guys think? Where could they go with this?
Go for it, Paul.
I'd like to say Kenny returns and we get a Hangman Kenny spot, but I'm not holding my breath on that. I hold my breath enough, not referencing my shirt tonight, by the way. But man, you know, I'm sitting here actively looking at the roster and I don't know how you get Hangman into Wembley at this point.
Is it raining outside? No, raining? No, raining?
Oh, thank you. I was on the same page. It's Okada.
Yeah.
It's Okada for sure. Mm.
That tease you could do was that. Good when he came out, said, can I help you? And they got face to face. So they have history.
They do. And I think you'll see something during Blood and Guts where they have a confrontation.
Or it could be even as early as this week. So we know Okada's taking on Swerve on Dynamite 250. Hangman could get involved and accidentally cost Okada the match on accident, maybe?
Either way, I'm in for Okada Hangman.
Oh, yeah. It'd be good. Because if Hangman's not in a triple threat and they don't go that direction, I don't know what you do with them. And that's sad because he is a huge heel right now for the company, even though you could argue he's actually a babyface because he's defending his family's honor because Swerve broke into his house.
And he walked out of the baby face.
Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
How about Jeff Jarrett's involvement in that match? That was pretty cool.
Yes. While Shep is frozen, I'll keep going here. Jarrett not getting back at Hangman when they first crossed paths. And then the ref's knocked out. I went, oh, great. Here's where Danielson will win it. And there'll be nobody to count it. And somehow Hangman's going to pick up the victory. And then him to take the shirt off and be sitting there as the referee was, and he didn't count faster for Danielson. He kept it right down the middle. I enjoyed that. So there was no, you know, well, I only lost because Jarrett made me lose. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Double J kind of being a baby face in 2024. That wasn't on my bingo card.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of a guy who has two J's in his name, JPJ's in the house. Our good buddy from
What's up?
He said Hangman should have won. No debate in my mind. Wrong decision.
I can't even say anything. So
he said the main event is Swerve and Hangman should be the All-In co-main. JPJ, how about if Hangman gets inserted for a triple threat? Or if I'm repeating this in case you didn't catch it. Or how about Hangman versus Okada? If we can't get Hangman in that main event, what are your thoughts on that? So.
Yeah. Hey, real quick here. I think we should touch on something that our EVPs here at KOP decided this week, which screws me.
Yes. Yeah, so if you're following the Kicking Out podcast on social media, which if not, you should at Kicking Out Pod, it was announced this week that at All In, it's not going to be just the three guys from Kicking Out Podcast. It's not going to be three guys and the two beard boys from Between Two Beards. It's going to be the three guys who had the perfect cards and quote unquote technically tied.
You did. Quit trying to be technical and using the freaking champion's advantage. This is fair.
The longest reigning defending champion in KOP history, and Shep and JPJ. It's just us three, All In Wembley for this bad boy.
And the people's champ will be over here rooting on anybody but Tanner.
I wouldn't expect anything less. So, Jim Chase says, I'm not upset that Danielson is going for the belt, but to me, the straight-up option was Hangman and Swerve in the rubber match for the title. I'm okay with Hangman and Okada. Will hump. He said, I do think after Wednesday, the main should be Tony and Mariah because hot damn, what an angle.
I agree.
Yes, that angle was amazing. Ooh. How they pulled that off. I can't think of many finishes to Dynamite better than that one.
Yeah, I think it's the best.
I mean, how they did it, you know, because it looked like we knew we get no run every week anymore. Let's be honest. TNT doesn't care. Turner doesn't care. It's TBS. Turner doesn't care. They're like, whatever, Tony, just have your overrun. And so we were getting up. I thought they were just going to celebrate with the trophy. And not only does she get that belt, she beats the living shit out of Toni Storm with the belt and the shoe. Toni didn't watch out for the shoe. And, you know, I like myself some color in wrestling, but I got to admit, boys, I felt a little uncomfortable for a couple seconds during that segment.
Mine wasn't around the color. Mine was that first swing at Luther looked like it just co-cocked him upside the head unintentionally. Like it missed where it was supposed to go. I was afraid he got screwed up there for a second, but the color, all right. I mean, she picked a bad spot to get color at, but it worked. But yeah, we got a little bit of blood there for a second, and Mariah kind of made my stomach turn there too.
Well, she works so snug, and I love that about her. I mean, those shots with the heel, I think Tony should lay them in, and she mm-hmm. did. She did.
Yeah.
I don't think it made me feel uncomfortable. I mean, it was a little bit more than you normally see on cable television, but mm-hmm. it so works for this storyline, and the reason I say it because Tony is overdramatic, right? That's her gimmick. She's over dramatic. So why yeah. wouldn't you be over dramatic in this spot? And it worked 120% perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I have seen some criticism out there saying they pulled the trigger on this too early with 7 or so weeks to All In, but I'm like, nah, I think it was the perfect timing. I mean, we all saw it coming for day one, that there was going to be a conflict between these two eventually. But at least in my opinion, I thought it was going to be Toni Storm turning on Mariah, not the other way around.
Because she was getting too much of the spotlight and Toni became jealous.
Yep.
But I don't mind 7-week build. I think you're going to see them in blood and guts in a tag match. I think, Mariah brings her friend back from Stardom that Toni just worked with, and then Toni tries to find a friend, and I think you have a tag match at Blood and Guts, and just build the story. You know, 7 weeks out, just build a solid story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this card at All Ends, as it should be. I mean, they're trying to make this their biggest show every year. It's looking like it's going to be absolute fire. I mean, just what we know so far is Danielson versus Swerve, Tony versus Mariah, but we're obviously going to get Britt versus Mercedes as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Paul with his long lost father, Paul Bearer, in the background.
I think this is before he was Paul Bearer, wasn't it?
Nah, no. He was Paul Bearer. I believe it was before Kang. It was definitely before Kang got there because they got the old logo.
Yeah,
there in the corner. So let's see here. Majin says, I always thought it'd be Mariah. Tony was always doing everything for Mariah, yet keeping her in her shadow. Mariah was always helping Tony, but Tony almost never helped Mariah when she needed it. That was great storytelling. It's been
either way you look at it. Yeah.
For all those haters that said AW can't tell a long story. Well, they did this time with this one.
See, and that's the thing. To all those people who say that AEW can't tell long-term stories, they have been telling a lot of long-term stories for years at a time. You just don't realize it because it's not the main focus. So, it's not Rock versus Cena. It's not Undertaker versus Kane. So you don't see those type of stories. They plant the seeds and slowly make it happen. On a lot of things. I mean, we saw that with the Kenny Hangman split. We saw that with the Elite split. We've seen that with Jurassic Express's split, bringing back that guy that I won't mention this week because I'll be nice, because he felt like he had been wronged by being kicked out of the group. I mean, we've seen a lot of long-term storytelling, but it's not between your main big people, so nobody cares about it.
Yeah, JBJ with a good comment here. Just goes to show you when they have care behind a character like they did with Mariah, everything she's done has mattered from the first time we saw her up until her moment on Wednesday. Yeah, I think they're slowly getting better with their character growth with a lot of their characters in these main stories.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know who is the,
Yes, I do, Majin.
I guess the agent behind this, because I think that person deserves a little bit of a pat on the back as well, yes. For booking it the way they did.
Yep. Yes, Majin, I did notice that Jericho's high guys and bye guys, it's becoming more sinister. I did notice that over the weekend. Yep. Mm-hmm. His character's starting to turn a little bit too, a little darker.
Hi, guys.
Yep.
Hopefully, hopefully he, I shouldn't say. Yeah, hopefully he's, maybe turns on Big Bill and slices his throat or something. I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
Stephen Chambers.
Was that a little much?
Apparently, the arena needs a remodel after what Jericho did to Joe with the forklift. Joe taking time off doing Twisted Metal season 2. That went through my mind when they did that spot. I said they got to be writing Joe off for a little while, and then I thought to myself, well, he is part of Twisted Metal, which was popular on Peacock. So, and I enjoyed the first season. I'm looking forward to second season. So that makes sense.
Oh yeah,
that angle was a little wonky though. I mean, it didn't look. Didn't look too clean, but
Jericho.
He drove through a man-made fake wall, and then by the time the camera got there, it looked like 5 tons of shit fell on top of Joe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the angle he took was so weird to get through that one panel, but it was like more diagonal than a straight line.
Yeah.
No,
I'm sure Jericho's not a certified forklift driver. Let's be honest.
Probably not.
Very true. Very true.
I think us three come closer to being forklift certified than Jericho.
I won't put myself in that category. Maybe
I have drove a forklift a couple times in my life unloading engines, and I only dropped one. So
only one. That's a plus.
Yeah,
I'm sure your father was happy on that one.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we told him. We probably buttoned up the crate a little bit better.
That's probably smart.
We don't need to tell him that.
Clip it. Oh.
No, I will not do that to him. There's some things that what happens on the pod stays on the pod, and if people find it, then okay, then so be it. But no, I'm not putting that out to the world. So, but how about Ospreay and MJF? Saw a little back and forth promo. MJF, of course, was on the screen Ospreay in the ring?
I told you last week, you guys asked me why attack Garcia, because it gets to the guy he's after without going straight after the guy. And it fired up Ospreay. And that's where that promo came from this week. Set up a great thing.
Bad promo by Ospreay. And I normally don't harp on him.
There's a little off.
A wonderful, wonderful promo by MJF. And I listened to a little bit of Busted Open, and they talked about it. But what sold me was the start of him clanking that ring on that wine glass to start. It's the freaking little things. And then he just went off and did his thing. And Bully Ray talked about how hard that's got to be, because that's a pre-taped vignette, obviously, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't live. So he wasn't in the moment. He wasn't around a live crowd. He wasn't in the ring face-to-face with Ospreay and using the adrenaline, I should say. He had to do that from the cuff, cold, and freaking spot on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments here. Stephen Chambers said Dynamite's going to be stacked. Swerve versus Okada. Ospreay versus MJF. Yeah, they are stacking up Dynamite 250. We also have Mercedes versus Nyla Rose, we found out last night on Collision. Mm-hmm. Darby Allin's going to be on Dynamite. Jericho's having a TV time with Chris Jericho, so they are stacking up. Do you guys think it's they're pulling the trigger too early? Are they doing a WCW mistake of Goldberg and Hogan not being on pay-per-view with this Ospreay MJF being on Dynamite?
Or I still think you get them at all in.
I agree, Shep. I agree.
They'll run it back.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it's a wonky finish, time draw, something.
Yep. I think this is just the start of their feud.
And, you know, I've also heard people say, well, obviously they're going to give the title to MJF and then have Ospreay win it back at All In for that big hometown pop. I could see that, but that would be a weird short title run for MJF with a title that is beneath him, I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing I want to touch on about the promo from MJF. This is why I like heel MJF. We saw something that we haven't seen in months, which also means we're probably starting to get close to time to bring a new one in, and that's the Dynamite Diamond Ring. As a face, he didn't have it on as much as he did when he was a heel. It was a part of his character when he was a heel, whereas a baby face, it was just kind of this afterthought.
Yeah, and you know, if MJF does win this international championship, and that's whether it be this week or if they have another go about it at All In, maybe Daniel Garcia wins that Dynamite ring somehow. Finally, MJF doesn't win it for like the fifth or sixth straight year, and maybe Garcia uses that ring to eventually win his first singles title in AEW.
It's done well for MJF, so I think it's time to put it on somebody else.
Yes. I don't think he's that level though. He's, and I'm not being rude. I just don't think he is to the upper card status that Ospreay, MJF, Hangman, Swerve are. Not that he's a bad professional wrestler. I think he's a talented professional wrestler. He's just not there yet.
Yeah.
So to put something of that meaning on him, I think it would be a little meaningless.
Yeah, and Lord ADS on YouTube says MJF versus Ospreay, this seems to be scripted. I bet someone takes him out during the match.
I could also see right before the match, cameras go backstage, Ospreay's laid out, pool of blood, all of a sudden the devil's back. Remember the backstage, maybe the backstage attacks from the devil?
Yeah.
Maybe the devil comes back.
Ospreay did reference the devil in his promo.
The one thing I don't like about that is MJF, it kind of defeats MJF's comeback promo at Double or Nothing, though, where he said he was done with all that stuff.
Well, it could be the devil, but not the devil. It could be MJF, or MJF hired somebody else,
Callous Family,
like he used to do, to take him out.
Callous Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of options there.
Brandon J on YouTube said they're trying to get a good deal with Warner Brothers Discovery. Yeah. I still think we're getting that announcement within the next month. Next month, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a done deal already. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they teased it on Being the Elite for like 3-4 weeks before they announced it.
Yeah. Brandon J also says Hangman is becoming the best heel, in his opinion. He's pretty good. He's pretty passionate. And you know, one thing that's starting to bug me about AEW, they have these great passionate promos and backstage segments with guys like Hangman and with Danielson. But instead of putting them on TV, they're putting them on these social media exclusives.
Yes.
I feel like they're missing a big opportunity to get casual wrestling fans to tune in and stick with, because some of their best work are on these social media exclusives.
And I think that's where we're at in this world. The casual fan is going to come across it easier on social media than they are watching the program.
And I think let me rephrase that. They want to make sure they get enough views and clicks on social media.
Right.
Just as much as they want us to watch on cable television, it's just as important for them to get the views. So they do things like that to assure them that they're going to get the clicks and the views.
Yep.
I guess I could go for a Hangman promo or Danielson promo over Max Caster and the acclaimed little
song
rap about the box. Well, that's just me.
I agree. I think good promos translate well to social media as well, or do like I've heard a lot of people talk about doing, show part of it and then say for the rest of it, check out our social media page.
Yeah. Stephen Chambers, what if MJF joins the Undisputed Kingdom and leaves Cole and Wardlow out to dry?
You know what?
I want to,
if we're going to get a heel run by MJF, I want him on his own.
Yeah.
I agree. Too many times as a heel has he joined a group or created a group, and it's time to see what he can do on his own.
And he can handle it. He can handle it.
Oh, yeah. But that doesn't mean he can't pay off certain groups to handle his business for him.
Not sure what Majin's referring to here. To come to a big company soon.
Oh, the social media stuff where you show it and then, you know, coming to AEW.
Yeah. And Brandon J's agreeing. Have MJF on his own. So, as a heel. But, no, I thought that Dynamite was good. There's not a lot I was real upset with. I thought 2 weeks in a row they've been cooking. Looks like Wednesday night's teed up to be another great episode. Like I mentioned earlier a little bit, we saw Darby Allin make an appearance. He spray painted Brandon Cutler everywhere. Said he'll be on Dynamite next week. You got to think he's going to be the third member to Team AEW for Blood and Guts.
Oh,
yeah. You can't have a Blood and Guts match without Darby.
No, and he's never been in one. So that's what's awesome about it. So that would leave two other spots. Where do you guys think they go with those two other spots? I'm afraid I know where they're going to go, and I don't like it.
Where do you think they're going to go?
Caster and Bowens.
Yep.
And I just don't like it. I just don't.
I'll be the first one to say I'd rather see Butcher and Blade be on Team AEW than the Acclaimed. And I like the Acclaimed.
I mean, the Acclaimed make more sense because they're beef with than the Butcher and Blade from the sense of their rivalry with the Bucks. But I don't know. I look at that roster and I'm like, that's still kind of JV-ish versus Varsity, and I like Mark Briscoe, but I mean, you know, Darby and Swerve, okay, but the other three against what the Elite got on their team.
So you got Mark Briscoe. I think you see orange in that match as well.
Okay.
You think, even with his feud with Trent right now?
Trent's on the shelf.
Yeah, he's on the shelf.
Fightful announced. That's why we haven't seen him in a match, even though we saw him in an angle last night.
And okay. And I don't think you see Kyle O'Reilly, even though he would fit in the conglomeration.
And I like Kyle, but he's in that JV category again, I feel like.
But I think you have OC, and then you need a guy, an AEW original. I don't know if he makes his return, but Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, and he's been nuts in the blood and guts matches in the past.
He's been nuts. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, your other originals is MJF. He's busy. Jericho, he's busy. Yeah. You don't want to see that. We don't want to see that.
No, we don't.
Been there, done that a couple times. Yeah,
been there, done that. You know, a guy that we haven't seen in a while would be fun. Would be Ricky Starks.
I have no idea what they're doing with them. I lost there.
I don't want to see Penta or Phoenix in that. Even though they would be, I'm sure they would do some crazy shit.
How about your boys? They return on Collision.
Okay, I don't disagree, but they're not AEW Ridge.
I know, but they it feels like they bleed AEW though.
They do. I think they bleed anywhere they go. they're just that passionate. Yeah. You know what I mean? I would rather see them than the Acclaimed, but I think, like you said, we'll get the Acclaimed.
Yeah, I just think it makes too much sense. I mean, I wish Eddie Kingston was healthy. He would be great. Yeah.
He just had surgery, so.
Yep, finally. Yeah. Took a while.
But at the same time, Eddie would be great, but it's one of those, they use him in, like, all those types of matches.
Right.
He's been in almost every Stadium Stampede. He's been in Blood and Guts. I mean, let's get... We know he's a hard ass and hardcore guy. Let's get somebody else in there.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I would love to see him coming down the stage bloodied in a zombie state, trying to set some people on fire.
Yeah.
Not gonna say I wouldn't pop for that, but
okay. I mean, that happened once.
How about this one? I mean, we need another singles guy with this guy, but this is kind of crazy. But he's been kind of involved with a guy on the Elite side lately. And he's from Tennessee. How about Double J? Jeff Jarrett.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. He needs something. I think this is his final run. So,
mm-hmm. It'd be kind of fun. It'd be weird, but fun.
Bring in Jay Lethal with him then? Or do you look still for somebody else?
That's a great question. I mean, that's the problem. I just, you know, the more we're talking this out, the more I'm seeing Bowens and Caster. My mind is the last two. I just
it will be, but you know, there are a lot of other great people that I think some people rather watch.
But does Mox fall in that category, like Eddie Kingston, like Paul was saying?
Yeah.
No, but Mox is I would consider him one of the Ridge.
Yeah, or Daniels. Danielson's not original, but how about or Danielson? Even though he's got to go against Swerve It All In, he could, you know, could they coexist in Blood and Guts?
Yeah.
You have a lot of options. I think we're going to find out this week because the following week is Blood and Guts, right?
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah. Yep. So you either find out Wednesday or you find out Saturday.
Majin says, how about Christopher Daniels?
No, I would like that just because everything they've put him through. But Daniels, I love CD, but it's time for him just to stay back behind the scenes. I thought that's where he was going when they did the whole eye scene stuff, but...
And I know Majin thought these guys would originally be maybe Blood and Guts guys. He says the Motor City Machine Guns are writing down their indie dates. They're getting ready to sign a big deal soon or to debut with a bigger company. From everything I read, it sure looks like the momentum's WWE bound for them all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. All right. You want
shocks me a little bit, but
it does me too. But
okay. Okay.
But look at the working relationship WWE has all of a sudden with TNA.
Exactly.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah. All right. So how about this one? You get they're screwed. So Daniel says he'll do it. And then Daniel's next week, as they get ready for it, says he's not been medically cleared, but he brought in somebody to take his place. Here's an original for you. Scorpio Sky.
That's a guy that hasn't been on TV in a long time. I think he got injured again, but I think he's recovered already from that.
I think he's in he's been ROH like hardcore.
Well, they ran a few things for him on Collision a couple months back, but I don't know.
But I mean, SCU had some big run-ins with the Elite even prior to AEW. So it would fit if you want to go the Daniels route. CD brings in Scorpio Sky instead of him doing it.
There's a lot of different directions they could go. It's going to be interesting. But I don't think it's going to be the five I originally drew up when they announced the match.
No.
Modern said Daniels can bring someone in from his past if they do that. It doesn't have to be an original. So, anything else from Dynamite you guys want to talk about?
No.
I think we kind of covered it.
Yeah.
But a very good episode. Absolutely. Rampage, not a ton to take away from.
Rampage was the show of the week again for somebody.
Not for me.
Not for us, but for somebody.
And then Collision... I watched it. Collision just isn't doing a lot for me lately. I guess because Dynamite's hitting on all cylinders. But there were a few things I wanted to discuss. FTR's back. I think we can all be happy about that.
I thought
FTR
opening match was great.
Yeah. Yeah, Dynamite Kid.
The new Dynamite Kid.
New Dynamite Kid.
Which he's the nephew of the original, right? Am I getting that right? The nephew? Correct. Yeah. Loved how the Callis family came out and tried to basically scoop him up.
Yep.
And he was having no part of it.
Takeshka beat him up. Callis beat him up. Fletcher beat him up.
He's 23 or 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very seasoned in the ring. Obviously, he's a smaller gentleman. Maybe you want to see a little size on him. But I think you could have you have something there. Why?
That is why I'm people's champion right there. That gentleman, Pluggo.
It's so dumb. That's one of the dumbest statements Pluggo's ever made in his life. And I've only talked to him twice.
Well, you should have seen his opening on Thursday night. He was over the moon. He pretty much called it his boyhood dream. He was ready to get it on with Mrs. Pluggo. He was so excited. His words, not mine. About Marco's return.
Let's get it on.
But why? Other than trying to get some clicks and some attention, because people are like, "What the hell did he just say?" What like you can't. No, that's a pretty dumb statement. But yeah.
Hey, if it worked. For Pluggo, I'm happy for you, my friend. Hey,
Wait a minute. You're saying Marco Stunt got Pluggo lucky?
Yep.
That's weird. His wife's in some weird shit then. Jesus.
Hey, whatever works.
Does she watch the Micro Wrestling League?
Jesus. He's the world champion.
But
he's the big show in the micro league.
Hey, big show is Marco's favorite wrestler. So hey,
see
something there. This week's
well, it's the little show.
Jesus, well, that's a rabbit hole for another day. We could go down there.
You can't stare at you can't look him in the eyes. They'll come after you.
Wow. That was not on my bucket list or my bingo card or anything to ever hear Shep go rar.
But just don't look him in the eyes, man. He'll come after you.
Plugo says he's the champ of the micro league if he catches drift.
Wow.
Cheers.
This is going down a.
All I was trying to say is I enjoyed this week's collision more than last week's because Marco wasn't on it. That's all I was trying to say.
Now you're feeling sorry for Mrs. Plugo because she catches the midgets.
Oh.
Plugo's going to beat your ass next time he's on our stream.
Plugo, you missed the part where I introduced myself as the KOP People's Champion, and then Shep asked me why that, and I said, well, it's because Plugo deemed me the People's Champion, and once the people deem you the champion, you're the champion.
Yeah, Shep, when your internet was out, I announced that's you, me, and JPJ at All In. No Paul, no Plugo. Just the three that actually had the perfect card.
Yeah. You know.
The worthy competitors. Oh, boy. Maja says the Micro Wrestling League.
Wow.
Zach Gowen versus Marco Snuff for the championship.
Who's Zach Gowen?
Remember, he was the one with he had one leg.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar just beat the living tar out of him.
And Stephanie made him jump through all these hoops to try to get a contract. And
wasn't he also
pop?
Wasn't he in the original All In the?
He might have been.
What the Rumble? What do you call it?
Yeah, the casino, the Battle Royale. Casino
Battle Royale. Yeah. Wasn't there a one-legged gentleman?
Actually. He might have been. No, he was a guest on Chris Van Vliet's podcast a long time ago.
Well, hey, he can get in the ring better than you and I. Just slide right on in.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he can. Plugger says Paul and he will do their own show at the same time.
Oh.
Ratings
war. For the People's Champion?
Is it called for second place?
Steven Chambers, here's a thought. If Kota Ibushi could be medically cleared for Blood and Guts in Nashville, doing it for Omega. We saw Kota and Blood and Guts last year. And I like Kota Ibushi, but I got to be honest. Since his injury a few years ago, ever since he's come back, he has not been the same wrestler. Not even close. Not even close.
Yeah, so I don't know. I actually got him and did I get him and Okada confused a couple weeks ago? And I made a comment about the bike. It was Ibushi on the bike.
It was Ibushi.
I think it was Naito. I thought it was Naito. Naito. It was fucking Ibushi,
which was a hilarious spot. But
it was a hilarious spot because he didn't really know how to ride the bike, and he still tried to hit you with a metal pipe, and it was like Hogan's chair shot in WCW days.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof, that's right. Oof, that's right.
But no, we're talking about WCW days, not you and Plugo's prediction card. Sorry.
Fuck you. It's simple. Every club needs a villain. I'm the villain, so.
It's basically going to be written by Russo himself. I mean, it's right there.
Bro. I mean, the guy puts his own bro counter now on his podcast. His own bro counter.
He's a mark of his. LL, I disagree on YouTube. Said AEW can't get worse. I think AEW's been cooking the last 2 weeks. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And it can get worse. There's a lot of promotions out there.
It
can get worse. Tony Khan's done some dumb shit in the day, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He's never on the upswing.
Title on Tyrus.
That guy, you know what? That guy hits the ropes harder than anybody I've ever seen.
He's faster than Braun Breaker.
Oh, Jesus. God.
Somebody call your mama.
Hey, that's how we got Naomi.
That was the true. Yeah. That was the best thing he's done in his career. I'm sorry. That was terrible, and it was still the best thing he's done.
All right. Oh, you're preaching to the wrong person here. I don't really care about the ratings.
No, ratings are for advertisers anymore. They're not for the fans.
I mean, are we going to still continue this ratings discussion when Raw's on Netflix next year and there is not a ratings report? I mean,
from what I've heard, it's the entire package is going over Raw, NXT, and SmackDown.
I think
SmackDown's not leaving Fox.
No, SmackDown's up. USA and NXT CW. NXT CW. So I think it might be past episodes, Paul.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Originally, but their deal with Peacock's through 2026.
Here's the thing we got right now. And I'll be the first one to say it. If you like AEW, great. There's a lot of good shit going on. If you like NXT, there's a lot of good shit going on. If you like TNA, there's a lot of good shit going on. If you like Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, there's a lot of good shit going on. Enjoy it, people, because we don't always get it. Nope. So instead of, am I going to make fun of some of the shit Tony does on AEW? Yeah. Am I going to make fun of some of it? Am I going to make fun of some of the shit that Triple H does on Monday night or Friday nights? Yeah, I can critique it because I'm the dumbass that gets on these podcasts, okay? I can say that. Not saying I'm not going to watch it, though. So to sit there and want to debate, you know, who's this, who's that, look, enjoy it. We didn't get this 20 years ago, 30 years ago. All of a sudden now you got
– 10 years ago.
Yeah, all of a sudden now you got NXT and TNA working together, and they are killing it.
Oh, I mean, absolutely.
There's TNA talent showing up on NXT getting huge pops, and vice versa. So to sit there and want to bitch about who's a bigger star, this and that, look, sit back, make you a fucking toddy, enjoy wrestling, and let's move on to something else.
Joe Hendry.
That guy can sing. He can sing.
He's talented.
I'm going to keep – they say you say his name and people – or he shows up. So I'm going to keep saying his name every week until he shows up on here.
And I think, you know, AEW's roster is finally getting healthy. Nobody's talking nobody ever talks about that. For the longest time, they were without Hangman. They were without Adam Cole. They were without MJF. They were without Britt Baker. They were without Jamie Hayter. Now Adam Copeland. Nobody wants to talk about it. A lot of those people are finally coming back. The product's starting to click now, and there's no – coincidence there.
When you're fighting for Wednesday night and Saturday night TV time, I mean, that's because they're that loaded.
Okay, so I wouldn't say they have empty arenas, but they don't have sold out arenas either. I'll give you that, but they do, I think, need to drop their prices a little bit. But their live attendance is getting better. It's not what it once was, but it is getting better.
And you know what? We even heard Punk say this, I think, last week. He made a comment about how there's fans on the hard camera side. Punk took a little bit of a shot. I get it.
Sure.
Funny.
Sure.
But
sure.
And we've all been there because my ass went and sat hard camera side because it was next to the bar and I was all by myself. Yeah. If that's what they want to choose to do, if they're a profitable company at the end of the day, they're doing something right.
Yeah. So
you're not going to have these talents keep showing up with their checks bounced.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, again, let's look at this here because AEW started in 2019. They ran through the pandemic. That was an empty arena. The pandemic was an empty arena. They made a profit somehow.
Well, they still did better than anybody else, having their own talent at ringside, then finally running in Florida, being able to get like 25% capacity in there. It was rough for everybody during that time to watch, but they made it more enjoyable than any other company did.
Right. Yeah, but where I'm going with that is
Thunderdome.
Yeah. It sucked. Where everybody stopped wrestling when they went to a commercial break. Because they don't do picture in picture like, you know, other companies do. But anyway, 5-year-old company, they're doing phenomenal for themselves. WWE didn't have this type of roster when they were only 5 years old. They had empty seats. You know, they looked like an indie show when they were five. AEW, still a lot of people would consider it an indie show. I get it. But TNA, ROH, Stardom, New Japan, everybody has had empty seats. That's,
dude, they had back after the Attitude Era, when they went to the PG era in Connecticut, they struggled.
Yeah.
That shit was bad. It was bad television. And they weren't, they weren't completely sold out. Remember, they used to black
them off. Yep.
Yeah, they used to black tarp the upper arenas. I went to a show during the PG era in Fort Wayne, Indiana, which is a smaller venue. It was Monday Night Raw, and they black tarp the upper deck of the Fort Wayne Memorial Coliseum. It was just the lower deck only, which could have been 3,500 people, maybe 4,000. So they've all been there. Now, right now, Double L or whatever the hell your name is, they're on fire. They're selling out 15, 18,000 seat arenas, and good for them. They're on fire right now, and they're doing it right. I don't disagree with you on that, but AEW is doing what they have to do to get by right now. And all of a sudden here in the last 3 weeks, they've started clicking and it's starting to go like this. Okay. We've had some really, really, really good television, and throw Rampage out of there. But we've had some really, really good television. And when I say that, we've had some really good professional wrestling matches. Okay, throw the storyline bullshit out of there. Right, these guys get in there and put on a professional wrestling match.
Okay, mm-hmm.
If you don't enjoy that, turn the fucking channel. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Watch your wrestling. Watch what you enjoy. And LL, I think you're gonna be one of those people. I'm sorry to say, you're gonna be very mad in about a month or two when they get a new TV contract, because they're not going anywhere.
No, they're not.
They're going to stay on mainstream television. They're going to stay with TV's TNT. So,
yep, they're not going anywhere, and it's good for the wrestling business as a whole because it feeds more
wrestlers'
families at the end of the day. These guys get dropped on their necks for a living, so the more people that can, pay their contracts, the better.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. A lot of people will go, "Oh, WWE is the more dominant company." Yes, it is. One, they've been around a lot longer. Two, they've developed a fan base.
You and every wrestling fan in the world, Travis. I'm just saying that right now.
Yes.
Yeah, Travis, I am. I'm pumped for Dynamite, I am pumped for Friday. So
yeah, I go back to college football on the Sega Genesis type days.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
But even to this day, with everything WWE is doing, WWE is on fire. But if it wasn't for AEW, I don't think NXT would have gotten rebranded. I don't think NXT would be working with TNA. I don't think we would have seen the storylines we saw, because WWE was starting to recycle their storylines, going, well, all the people that these were designed for are no longer watching, so we can reuse those storylines and nobody will know. And they forget there are still people out there in their 30s and even into their 40s who did watch those original storylines. So they knew it was being repeated. AEW has caused WWE to rethink every single thing they're doing. I will go on the record on July 14th, 2024, to say that if AEW wasn't here in the pandemic era, we wouldn't have gotten weekly television from WWE. They would have sent everybody home and had replays.
You got to remember who was still in charge.
Yeah.
Okay. To an extent, I think we would have only gotten one live instead of three there.
All right. And I'll be honest, I think it's awesome that WWE is on a hot period right now. I want wrestling to be cool again. I want people to be talking about it mainstream.
Yeah.
But a lot of WWE fans don't want to admit this. If the old man was still around, their product wouldn't be clicking like it is right now. That was such a blessing in disguise for that guy to finally be seen for what he is, a garbage human being.
And I think Tony Khan has made guys like Triple H and Shawn Michaels step their game up and pay attention to what's going on and really put on an awesome product. Because I think if there was no Tony Khan, you had TNA, but they're not worried about TNA. I think they would have just gotten comfortable in the seats.
Right. Right. So, no, a lot of people making some good comments about WWE being around for ages now. And they are the flag bearer. They are.
They're the machine, man. They're the machine. Yeah. They're a multi-billion dollar company.
They're well oiled. They've got TKO behind them now. I mean, they're
publicly traded. I mean, there's endless pockets. And when I say endless pockets, we know we got Shad Khan over here, okay? But eventually that oil money dries up. He's got to go buy a quarterback every once in a while. I don't know.
He just paid one for many, many years, so I think he's good there.
He did.
They're getting a new stadium.
The AFC South is fucking loaded with quarterbacks over there.
It is. Oh, my Lord. Is it ever? Yeah,
that's a whole nother story.
Yep. LO said, name the best storyline with long-term buildup that we all can't wait to see. Top three go. Are we talking across all promotions or?
Well, I mean, the hottest one right now, and obviously we're going to get more than 7 weeks of a buildup, is Mariah and Tony. I mean, how long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, are we talking a month, month and a half, 2 years?
I mean, normally
10 years, 5 years.
Normally in WWE, you get Royal Rumble to Mania, which is about 10 weeks. Okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, 7 weeks, we're close. We're close.
All right.
He wants an AEW. A Majin right here said, Hangman Swerve, Tony Storm, Ryan May, MJF versus the world. Done, done, and done.
There you go.
And to add to that, House of Black versus Christian Cage. That's starting to build. We've got this Jericho hook thing that's now 3-4 months in that these two have been feuding. I mean, we can go FTR versus the Bucks, which has been like 4 years nonstop on and off.
Danielson's full last year as a full-time competitor. It's been a story within itself.
And yep. look what they've done with the cross promotions with New Japan and CMLL. I mean, there's stuff that has gone on there that not every AEW fan sees because they don't watch New Japan. They don't watch Wrestle Kingdom. They don't watch any of the CMLL stuff. So there's more than just what you see on AEW television, because Tony Khan is sharing talent all over the world. You got to love that. Well, we don't normally get to see that. So, I mean,
yeah, hell, I mean,
AJ Styles just went and wrestled in Noah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That would have never happened if the pervert was still there.
Oh, it would.
Io Sky returned to Japan this weekend or last week.
Yeah. So there's
again, wouldn't have happened.
There's shit going on everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say this. And I might sound like a broken record, but make you a fucking toddy, sit back and enjoy it, because in another year, this might not, it all could change.
Yeah, we're spoiled. We're spoiled.
We are. Yeah.
A lot of pay-per-view quality matches on television every week.
On all promotions, not even just AEW.
Right. You're right.
And Tanner, you guys have been doing this a lot longer than me, right? You started a year and a half or so before y'all brought me in. But I remember the first 15, 20 times I joined you guys, we did not talk anything really outside AEW. We might have talked about a GCW indie show because we knew Nick Wayne was coming.
Right.
Or the Briscoe brothers showed up on GCW after Ring of Honor shut down. We never talked about Connecticut. Maybe we talked about Cody when he left. But look over the last, what do you say, 6 months, seven mm-hmm. months? Yes, this is an AEW podcast, but we talk about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we're enjoying it, right? Mm-hmm. We're entertained.
Yeah.
We're fans. We're marks, whatever you want to call us. So
yeah, we always say, you know, the Kicking Out podcast is an AEW podcast, just because to us, when we started it, that's exactly all we were talking about. We still enjoy AEW more than most promotions because you
it's
do have
my favorite. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because you've got a lot of, yes, you have some of those Jerichos and Copeland and Christian and
Danielson,
but you have a lot of up and coming young talent that's going to be here for the next 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, AEW has a guy on his roster right now who can't even legally wrestle in the United States because he's too young.
Who's that?
Mr. Brody Lee Jr. Oh. Negative one.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Very, yeah. Very true.
That's true. Well,
but I mean, you know, Bray passed away. Bray has kids. WWE didn't do that for them.
That we know of, at least.
Right. But I feel like they would have made a pretty big deal out of, look, we're supporting these guys. We didn't see that. And that's what draws us to AEW. The things they do, not only on television every week, but on their social media. And Negative One has, I think he has beaten up Marco Stunt before.
He needs to do it again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the product's completely different as well. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It's an alternative.
It's an alternative. You know, if you want the theatrics and the production, go watch Mondays and Fridays. I'm not gonna hold that against you. But if you want to sit there and watch professional wrestling, two guys, yeah, there might not be a storyline. They're gonna walk into that ring, shake their hands, and the better man's gonna walk out. Then yeah, come watch Wednesdays, and guess what? I enjoy it all. So
yep,
yeah, and I can bitch. I can bitch about what I don't like, and I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've been very critical on this show, but to sit there and, I don't know, make long-term comments like that. Yeah.
And I mean, we had a spectacular storyline between Ruby Soho and Saraya, but, you know, Ruby went and got herself knocked up before they could close it out.
Hey, congratulations to them, by the way.
Yeah, again.
But you act like that was a bad thing. I'm happy for them.
No, I'm just saying.
They're married and everything now.
They're married. They got a kid on the way. You know, congratulations to them. I don't mean that bad, but I'm saying we had
just how you said
a year.
Got herself knocked up. And
well, because that storyline was approaching a year or more, but they weren't able to wrap that storyline right now because Ruby got knocked up.
You're right.
You say it like old Matt Menard was just walking by and shit slipped and fell right in her puss or something. I mean, that's what you're sounding like.
Well, I hope it was Cool Hand Edge because it was Matt Menard.
Sorry, Matt Menard, Daddy Magic. Yeah, Cool Hand Edge. Sorry. Hey, that would be
Daddy great. Magic did.
Oh, if that kid, if the baby comes out with like slick back hair and like starts talking with a little bit of an accent, like, oh, hey.
And rubbing his nipples.
Yeah, is that his nipple? Is that Daddy Magic's? Like, what an angle to bring Matt or Cool Hand Edge back. Bring them back together and work together.
Comes out with a head full of black hair and it's all just slicked back.
That's good. That'd be awesome. Good stuff. That's good stuff. Hey, you can't make fun of old Ruby, man. She's Indiana owned.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hoosier Strong.
Yeah.
Hoosier Strong.
That's why I'm not making fun of her. I'm making fun of everybody else.
So here is a complaint I had from AEW this week. One thing I did not like last night. So Jay White supposedly hurt. So,
yeah,
they have four members. Bullet Club, mm-hmm. Bang Bang Game, whatever you want. Instead of just freebirding it and saying Juice and the Guns, you can have the titles. They strip them of the titles, and now they're in a match against the Patriarchy and the winner are the Trios champions. I was like,
that was a little different.
Why? That's stupid.
Yeah. Well, and I think that kind of got screwed up because they introduced Juice when he came back as being a quarter of the Trios champion.
They gave him a title.
Okay. The Bang Bang Gang did. But it was already speculated backstage that it wasn't going to fly. It wasn't actually going to be a thing. They weren't going to be able to rotate him in and out with others.
And take Jay White out of it. He doesn't need to be a part of it. Those other guys are a good trio.
You know what?
And that's what I want to happen. I want the patriarchy to lose. The Bang Bang Gang gets the trios back. We eliminate the damn acclaimed version of these titles. Yeah. And we just have a true trios team. Jay White goes out, does his singles thing, and voila.
You know what, though? It worked. Look how well it worked. And they're still together of the rotating member. Look how well it worked for the New Day.
Yeah. Yes.
Those three were the tag team champions for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Tony didn't want to do it that way.
Yeah, but it worked. It could have worked here.
It did. Yeah.
It would have worked brilliantly here. But.
And I think Steven's right. I think the patriarchy is going to win it. And then we got them against House of Black.
Absolutely. I'd be okay with that.
Hey, boys, we got to do something with the House of Black. We either got to shit or get off the pot. Shit or get off the pot.
Well, the only thing they ever do is, I mean, at least, you know, we've seen them beat Trios champions before, once before. Might get to see it again, which is great, but I don't know. I just think they could do so much more. But
oh, absolutely. You put Brody and Buddy as your tag champs. And let Malachi do singles.
Wish you had the pencil there, Paul, or the pen in this case.
Mm-hmm. I have a pen.
There you go.
Not the right pen, though.
There's only one talker in that group, so to put tag titles on the other two might hurt them a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
That's when you do it once the fourth member of House of Black comes back.
See, Majin, I think Brody can talk better than people give him credit for. Buddy, we have not seen that.
Buddy, and maybe he can, but they don't give him. We don't give him the shot to do it.
Right,
so.
Right. And hopefully Julia will come back later this year, maybe with them. That'd be good. But we'll see. So any other thoughts from Collision?
No, I'm trying to figure out. Oh, never mind. It changed. I was going to say, was that Sean and Vince behind you?
It was
cutting a promo at each other, but it's gone.
It was.
Okay. I thought that was the one I was thinking of.
That was back when Sean would go to the ring with a hat on backwards, no shirt and like
shirt.
Golf
go
shorts.
For a,
shorts.
Go,
yep.
Go for a Majin Fireway. I thought the main event was weak. Collision, even with the Trent and OC stuff. I don't know, OC and Kyle versus Taven and Bennett. That's a Rampage match for me. Not a main event.
Mm-hmm. But I agree.
I think we get a lot of
Collision's Rampage. Been just kind of dead for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, we get a lot of Rampage style matches on Collision.
It's kind of been blah lately, but.
I mean, I've said this before. Go back to two shows.
Oh, I think they're going to. I think Rampage, that hour gets added to either Wednesdays or Saturdays in the next TV contract. That's just my prediction.
I don't want 3 hours of AEW, but yet I would be okay with it because back to LL's talking about ratings and things like that. I've been more of a fan of checking out, and I can never remember who posts it, so I have to stumble across it on Twitter, where they break down the actual number of minutes of wrestling per show for the week. And AEW's two-hour show on Wednesday has more wrestling time right. than a three-hour promotion does on Monday nights.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, if we're going to get the same thing with an extra hour added, I'd be okay with it. But if we're going to evolve and get more talking, less wrestling, or a 50-50, I don't want it.
Right. Majin said the Bucks are going on like 200 days without a single title defense. I also wish Tony could accept help so that while improving one part of the show, another doesn't take a hit because of it. I can get on board with that.
Yeah. A
few more comments I want to hit on here. Travis Wilson, y'all think Dark Order will ever amount to anything important? I do not. I think
no, not anymore. I think that ship sailed when Brody passed away.
And Majin, Sky Blue is back. WTF, guys. Yeah, she's back with a new look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No comment.
Good point. Majin says the women's division has improved tenfold, but the tag division has taken a huge hit because of it. Can't disagree with that either.
Yes.
So.
Sky blue.
So I hey, you interviewed her, my friend. Go check that out if you haven't already, everybody. So I take it Dynamite was all of our favorite show this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ratings and wrestler of the week.
Shep, go ahead. You're on a I want to go first kick, so you get to go first.
Sure. Yes. Yes. Rating was a great show. One of my better shows. I'm going 7.9.
That's lower than I thought.
It didn't tickle the eights. It didn't tickle.
Okay.
It was close. It was close.
It tickled them, just not close, not enough tickling.
And my wrestler of the week, actually, I at one point I thought was going to come from Collision, but the more I thought about it, he had a more of an impact, and that was MJF's freaking cold vignette. He hit it spot on. I really, on the wrestling side, I really loved the Dynamite Kid and Takeshna on Saturday. I thought that was a great opening match. I thought they both knocked it out of the park. It was a good professional wrestling match. But overall, I think MJF had a more of an impact than those guys. So wrestler of the week is MJF.
All right. You want to go next, Tanner, or you want me to?
You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, I can't go the same as Shep, so I'm going to have to either break into the eights or go lower into the sevens. I'm going to go 8-1 this week because eights, you know.
A rookie score.
Yeah. And I'm going to go Danielson for my wrestler of the week. I almost went double J with how he switched mid-match, but I got to go Danielson. I think we're going to get a great story at All In from him. And I'll be the first to say it because I don't have to make a prediction. He's going to put Swerve over.
You think we get a special enforcer, as in Nigel McGuinness, as a special referee?
I hope not, but I was,
ever since he's been back on commentary, he just blasts Danielson, right?
He does.
And mm-hmm. I saw some things on Twitter where, like, he's back. He got back in the ring, took some bumps, you know, and tease the comeback, and I'm always thinking if the only reason he's talking this way is because, I mean, could you imagine what kind of pop that would be with Nigel and Brian and Wembley? And so since we haven't got that, I just feel like it's at some point in time those two are going to come to head, because all he does is bash him on commentary.
Yeah,
and not that I don't dislike it; it's entertaining, but there's got to be something that comes out of that.
Yep. Yeah, they got to pay it off somehow.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be the high guy this week. I think last week I went 8-8. I thought this was a really strong show again. A little lower than that, I'm going 8-6. And my wrestler of the week is Mariah May. She's good in the ring. She's good on the mic. Now she's got an absolutely evil side to her. I can't wait to see where this story goes, clear up to Wembley.
I think it'll be good.
Yep. So... All right.
Do you get a straight match at Wembley, or with all of this blood and I'm guessing Tony's going to get her revenge? Do you get this in a cage or something?
I hope it's just straight up. I hope it's straight up. But
I'd be okay if it was like a no DQ match, but I just want it to stay those two. I don't want a whole bunch of interference.
Unless Tony gets color on Mariah next few weeks. How about a women's first blood match? I don't ever remember that happening.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So, and I can see, I can't wait. I'm guessing Wednesday we're going to get a really, really good promo from Tony.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. So now our draft this week, I had the pleasure of coming up with a topic. We are each going to draft three individuals from the men's roster of AEW that have never held any type of singles gold in AEW that we'd like to see hold it. So Shep's going first because he called it today.
I think the most obvious one's Takeshi.
Okay.
He's ready.
Yeah. He's way ready.
Yeah.
Paul, you can go second. I'm feeling nice tonight.
Okay. I'll probably get some heat for this one, but when they brought him in, they made him seem like this big ordeal. Kip Sabian.
Yeah, he wasn't on my list.
I didn't, not my list either.
No, but I mean, even if it's just a TNT run, I think Kip would be good as a champion.
Remember when they put him in that video game hardcore match with
Yes.
Yeah.
What was that match called?
Or it was the game best over. Friends versus
him and Sabian
and Miro.
Yeah.
Because Orange Cassidy popped up in like the claw machine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't a fan of that shit. Wasn't a fan of that shit. But
I will go with Malakai Black. I think he should have had some kind of singles gold already. I still think he's too big a star not to hold it eventually. So I'm going Malakai first. And since we're doing snake draft, I got number two. I'm going to go with Adam Cole, baby, once he gets healthy.
Okay. Well, I'll go with one who has enjoyed his time in the company, has announced that his time in the ring is coming to an end, and I don't mean Danielson. Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, he was on my list.
Okay.
Yeah, he was on my list. A guy that I think is underutilized in AEW, and the only reason I say this is because he was so successful outside the company. Held many world championships outside the company, but Jay Lethal.
Okay. Yep. I got to pick a new third now. Thank you, Shep.
I like that one.
And last but not least, and I think we'll see this because he's in there for the long haul. And I'm just saying, guys, don't get on me because you're going to say, oh, you're picking favorites here. I'm picking my stepson, Nick Wayne.
No, he's gonna have gold around his waist eventually.
Yes.
Hey, back to the three man band thing. If we include Shep's stepson, then Shep and I are tied, so he can go to being Heath Slater. I'll be Drew McIntyre.
That's true.
And you can be the modern day Maharaja.
That's okay. You just really want to wear a skirt, don't you, Paul?
I've worn one.
Rip Ryerson.
Yes.
Rip Ryerson. Junior. He wears a skirt.
Rip Ryerson wears a kilt. Junior wore a kilt for a while, and then he said, nah, this isn't manly enough, so he put on a suit.
Oh, okay.
Majin with a good one there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think we've talked about this before. He is so over in New Japan.
Yep.
Like
Lance Archer for everybody listening.
Lance Archer, sorry. Yeah, Lance Archer. Like I've watched a lot of New Japan feeds, and he's over there. They love him over there.
Mm-hmm. And all right, so for my third pick, a little bit out there, but again, he was brought in with the Dark Order, and they made him seem like he was going to be this huge star and he was going to dominate everybody. Preston Vance.
Forgot the guy's in the company, to be honest.
Yeah, it's because they don't have anything for him to do.
I mean, the last thing I remember of Preston Vance is Moxley beating the living tar out of him and ripping his mask. Mm-hmm. And that was the last match Moxley had before he went to rehab.
Yep.
And then he joined with Roosh and Roosh's group, and then that group doesn't even get mentioned anymore. Well, although on the website, they're still listed as being part of it.
Jose's not even part of the company anymore. So
yeah.
My last one, I was going to go Brian Danielson, but I think that's a little too easy. And he's got a shot at All In, and I don't want to show my cards. So I'm going to go with Jay White.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, he went for gold, didn't get singles gold. Yep, that's a couple right.
Times. So
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So those are my three.
So. Okay.
Right. Maybe in the future we'll have to do women's. In the future.
Yeah. Yeah. I can pick Jay, three easy.
I feel Jay's spot in the company. Watching him in New Japan when he was the IWGP champion, and he had some really, really good heated promos. Of course, they're uncensored there. They can say whatever the hell they want. I feel that he's – I don't want to say held back on his promos in AEW, but I feel like he's not the same. He doesn't have the same pizzazz. He doesn't have the same fire behind it like he did when he was in Japan. So I kind of want to see a little – he needs to step it up a little bit.
Yep.
His in-ring work, you can't question that shit. So
yeah, I'm hoping maybe since Bullet Club Gold got stripped of the trios and assuming they lose the patriarchy, maybe then we can finally get singles run out of him and give him away for a little bit. He can always go back, but
yeah.
Majin bringing up out A-Train, Tensai, Albert, whatever you want to call him, got over huge in Japan and nothing. WWE.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, Roosh is with the Callis family now, so we'll see if anything comes out of that. So.
Yeah.
Boys, I don't think I have anything else this week.
I don't have anything else.
You guys think it's a huge hit that Stephanie Valkyr is with WWE now?
I think it's a great gift for them. It's their dream. I mean, they should send Tony a thank you card
for her
match at Forbidden Door, because that really got her on their radar more so than she already was. But I was surprised she went there instead of AEW, but hopefully they use her well, because she's a heck of a talent.
She is. She made her debut this weekend in their big super show in Mexico. So
yep, she'll be an NXT talent, so hopefully.
Yes.
And you guys see the pictures from that show? That place was
always packed to the brim.
Packed. Yep. Holy. Mm-hmm. I think it was the largest wrestling show in Mexico history.
Yep.
So
Majin's wondering if Logan Paul's there. I don't know.
No, I don't think Logan, comma, Paul. He was referring to who I was waving to a minute ago. Damn, yes, Majin, I was waving grammar. At Logan.
Damn it, Majin. Use grammar. You're talking about the United States champion. I thought you were talking about Israel in Mexico. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so.
We are getting the debut of Dude Love behind you there, Tanner.
Have mercy.
And going, what in the hell?
What am I tag teaming with?
Yeah.
So since Majin brought him up, I think Logan Paul's time as U.S. champion is getting ready to come to an end, because they've got a run in Japan coming up, and Logan kind of screwed himself from being allowed in over there.
But he's not dropping that at least till SummerSlam, since it's in Cleveland, though.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah. When L.A., it's L.A. Knight's time. The fact that that dude hadn't won singles yet is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, if we talk over there, that's one of the first persons I think of in that company.
Shoot while you can.
Wait, ask Logan, your Paul questions. Am I missing something there?
You remember he had a very distasteful video on YouTube years ago before he got in wrestling. I mean, very distasteful, where he had to come out and apologize. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very bad. It involved a very particular forest over there.
Yeah. Google it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Or I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about on the air.
Okay.
No.
I don't know what the guys are talking
it's,
about.
It's so, pretty it's pretty dark stuff. So
hey, did you guys see that AEW has come to terms and released CJ Perry?
It was like she wasn't even involved in the company.
Yeah, I know.
She never came back after her
finger wound
thing happened.
Yeah.
Supposedly they're done with Flair and Woo Energy too. That's what Wrestling Observer Newsletter saying. So,
they must have tasted the shit. Jesus.
I mean, really, they should have just brought him in for the Sting stuff, and then they should not have done the multi-year contract.
So, with that being said, are we going to get Miro back on TV now that those two have divorced?
I don't know what's up with him. He's always hurt. I don't know. That's been a waste.
Yeah.
I could take him or leave him at this point. So
I'm trying to drag it out to give Majin time to ask his question here.
Oh
yeah, hurry
before
up,
I start wrapping it. Here
are some people you feel New Japan will elevate up the card since they need all the help they can get on top. The Gabe Kib.
No, he's the number one.
I don't follow New Japan too close anymore. It's a struggle for me.
I think eventually it'll get there, but I think Zack Sabre Jr., I think eventually he's going to have a world title run. He's had a lot of 100%. The mid-card titles. He's very entertaining. He's just a great asshole heel. Another guy I like a lot, I don't know if he'll ever get to the top because of his mic work, but his in-ring work is awesome, is Jeff Cobb. I love Jeff Cobb.
Yep.
Yeah.
And all those guys you mentioned, we've seen AEW.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like Jeff Cobb back in the old ROH days.
He said Naito's seemingly washed, even though he's a champion. Tanahashi's running the company, Mox is in AEW more so, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It's AEW's taking all their big boys for the most part the last couple of years. So they're kind of hurting.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, I'll bring this show to a close and wrap us out. Be sure to follow the Kicking Out Podcast on all social media at Kicking Out Pod. Check out kickingoutshop.com. It's your place to go for all of your KOP merchandise. Chance to look fantastic and support a great podcast at the same time. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. But before then, be sure to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast wherever it is you listen to your Kicking Out Podcast. And if that happens to be Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review because we are 5-star KOP. Be sure to follow Austin Shepherd on all social media at TheShep27. Follow Tanner Lee at TannerLee92. Follow myself at PaulZartman87. And for that, for Austin Shepherd and Tanner Lee, I'm Paul Zartman. Join us again next week as we kick out yet another podcast.